If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
You know, last week I was, I just got to ask you this. Coach Hopkins was just talking at the table like this with us, and he just said, unfortunately, we only have him for 1 year. And whether that's the case, no team ever says that. They said, well, we'll get to that point at the end of the season. He'll decide what he's going to do. It's always been a given that you were just going to play 1 year college ball?
No, not really. I mean, I know I've been like on all those mocks and stuff like that, but I've just been doing a great job of just paying attention to the season, paying attention to my teammates, and just trying to focus on what we have ahead of us.
So if you wanted to come back, you'd have to go ask him and say, Coach, I'm not leaving like you think I am. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just giving my spot away.
Yeah, I mean, when everybody always asks Coach Hop, is he going to be back? He always says he's not going to let me, but that's something, I mean, I haven't even thought about. So, you know, I'm just staying focused on the season and my teammates, my coaches, and surely classes and assignments.
How good was it for this group to kind of have this time, this week, to just reset things and have some time away from playing games for a little while?
It's been great for us. We've been doing a lot of late situation things in practice, reliving games that we should have closed out. And it's been great. Energy been great. Everybody's spirits are up and nobody's down. So this week has been a great week for us.
Isaiah, you're one of the bigger guys around, strongest guys around. And against Arizona State, you were getting doubled and triple teamed a lot.
Yes.
It was the first time I've ever seen maybe a little bit of an anger in your eyes.
Yeah.
How hard is it to control that? And is there ever a time that you've gotten really angry?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty angry pretty much every game. But, I mean, that game, Coach Dollar was talking to me. We went in at halftime. I think I probably had like 2 or 4 points in the first half. And he was telling me that even though they're playing me a different way or being more physical or doubling me or tripling me, no, me, I become passive or, you know, move away from the ball. He said, I just have to work harder. Don't ask the refs for any calls. Just play, you know, force them to call. So, you know, that's when I came out and I just said, you know, just met it head to head and just went at it. So, yeah.
It was kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, it was. I mean, wow, I never thought I'd be facing like a double and triple, like pretty much every night. So it's been a pretty experiencing year.
Did you practice that? Did they put three guys on you at a time?
No, but I wouldn't say three guys, but definitely double. In practice, whenever I get the ball, they always scream for another guy to run at me and stuff. So, I mean, they've been doing things that I would be seeing in the game, playing the other posts.
And it's, you know, it's probably an impossible task, but is there anything that you can do to help your young point guards maybe get into the offense more, control things more, because obviously kind of new for them at this level.
I mean, obviously I'm not a point guard. Quade's been doing a good job of it, but, you know, I just tell Marcus, Elijah to, you know, just be them best, be their best selves, like the best version of themselves, and just try to, you know, just play hard. You know, don't overdo things or be something that you're not, you know, just be comfortable with being yourselves, running the offense, and it's not about making, like, a home run play every time. Like, just hit singles and, you know, just get us into our stuff and just be confident.
Have you seen progress from those young guys stepping into that point guard role?
Yes, definitely. With Marcus, you know, thinking he was going red shirt to, you know, starting at the point guard position. I feel like he's been doing a great job with producing, and, you know, I feel like his assists are definitely going to come. I feel like he's just getting the feel of playing with me, playing with the other guys around him, and knowing which spots and where to throw the ball. So I feel like that's going to become better for him.
Do you have to have conversations with him, or, like, is that something that's just innate? Does it come through practices? Like, slide over, put my hand up, or before I put my hand up?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I mean, it happens in practice, off the court, when, you know, we live together, and even on the court, you know, when we in the huddles, or, you know, I just put my arm over him and, you know, try to tell him, like, where to pass it, how I'm going to be selling my guy and what to look for and how to look for it the quickest and stuff like that.
You're on the floor quite a bit with Amir, but mm-hmm. we're seeing a little bit of you being on the floor at the same time as Sam and Nate. How's that impact?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, that gives me an opportunity to you know, face up and, you know, sweep through a drive and draw fouls that way, then rather than just being in the post, getting banged up the whole time, and Coach Hop and the staff been focusing on doing things like that because, I mean, they know it's in my game, but they've just been trying to find ways to allow me to play like that.
So, when you take a rare, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When you take a rare 3-point shot,
mm-hmm.
is that part of your strategy, just to draw them out a little bit?
I wouldn't say it's part of my strategy, but, I mean, I'm confident in shooting that shot. I mean, I work on it. I've been working on it. The staff and my teammates know I can shoot that shot. You know, I stay after practice, before practice, come in the morning and just work on shots like that. So, I mean, I'm confident in taking it. And, you know, if someone's not going to step up and contest it, then I'm going to shoot it.
How familiar are you with the whole rivalry matchup with Washington State? Mm-hmm. Have your teammates talked to you about it?
I'm not that familiar with it, but my teammates did say it's a crazy game, a very important game for us. Definitely got to win it. So, you know, I'm not that familiar with it, but I know I'm going to give my all and, you know, just try to ensure that we get a win.
How's this year been for you, just off the court, adjusting the weather, adjusting the new city, being away from home,
and
adjusted to Seattle?
Yeah.
Is it what you expected?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, you know, when I came out here and visited, I thought it was a very cool place. I still think it's a very cool place. Every morning I wake up, I mean, it's been raining a lot lately, snowing too. So I didn't think, people said we weren't going to get that much snow, but, I mean, we've been getting some. But other than that, I mean, off the court, like, just hang out with my teammates. I mean, I go to Bible study and do things like that.
We were debating who's had the prettiest shot. Who's the prettiest shooter you've seen or matched up against?
That we've played against or who I've coached?
Either one. Who's had the prettiest shot?
I loved Jerry McNamara. Boy, it was pure. It was confident. It was textbook. It was pretty darn good, man.
That's what I thought.
Pretty effective.
Go ahead, guys.
That's it,
Mark. Fire away, guys.
Extra time this week. What are you working on the most?
It started with the mind, right, and just reestablishing belief. I thought that was big. Not that they didn't stop believing, but I think it's one of those things as a coach, you're always, you know, the system works when done right, but the mindset helps you execute the system better. And so thought we reestablished that. That was really good. And then, we've been obviously turning the ball over and lack of defensive rebound. And so those are areas, you know, it's simple, you know, that we've got to be able to keep getting better at. And then, you know, defensively, we've made a few adjustments, you know, how we can defend later in shot clocks and certain personnel, just a little tweak here and there. Now that we're not young anymore in terms of experience, we've added a couple things, which is good. But the most important thing, it doesn't matter what offense, defense, if your mind's not right and your energy's not right, those things don't matter. And so we've had two really good days of practice. We had 2 days off. It was almost perfect timing to be able to do what? Get away a little bit from each other for a couple days, come back and reestablish those things. And you know, I'm proud of the guys.
By necessity, you did a little full court press in the last couple games.
Yeah.
Can we see more of that, maybe just to change the tempo? Because you got the athletes to do it, right?
You know what? It's a great question. I know because it had success at the end. You know, everybody's like, well, why aren't you pressing more? You know, if you go back in terms of the games that we've played, you know, we've had double-digit leads late against really, really good teams. And so what we've tried to do and get better in teaching these guys is we've recreated situations that we've been in. You know, at Stanford, 48-55, 6 minutes to go. And, you know, we're trying to teach them through that and how to finish those games and win and decisions that have to be made where we want to go. So that's been a lot of fun. You know, teaching these guys, that's where I think practice has been really, really good. You know, the tempo thing is real. Sometimes you have to do that. Our half-court traps have been pretty good, and just to try to speed up and try to get some extra possessions. But hopefully we're not in a situation where we have to do that.
With everybody pressing you, they obviously see that as a weakness in your team. What have you done to kind of respond to that?
I think the hardest thing when you deal with pressing, when teams press, zone press, Utah did it a couple times, then we scored against it. The only other team was Oregon. First half, we actually executed it really good. Later, it just wore on us. ASU obviously did it, but we didn't have great energy in that game. And I think what happens is it doesn't allow your point guard to bring it up necessarily. It forces you to have a different guy for a man. And so, you know, we've worked on you know, alternative offense of when we get in those situations or where we can flow into something rather than break it where the point guard is running all the way back up trying to get it and now it's late shot clock. And so that's what we've worked on, multiple guys being able to bring the ball up and initiate the offense.
After analyzing the film, do you guys see any benefit in playing more man-to-man defense like you did earlier in the season?
No.
You told us that Jaden was frustrated with his ankle, and he didn't play the last 12 minutes of the last game, which I'm sure frustrated him as well. What are the conversations like?
I think that the frustration is there's two different frustrations. Is obviously, you know, you start off the year and it's great, and there's certain plays that you run for certain guys that work. And then what starts happening, what do good coaches and good teams do? They start, the scouting report changes. And so if we're posting them up early like we did against Baylor, now they're defended a certain way, make it tougher to get the ball in those situations. And so there's been a combination of those types of things. I think the ankle thing, not an excuse, but I think it lost a little bit of confidence, right? You don't have the mobility, you're not playing well. It's just, it kind of magnifies a little bit. And so I think getting back to, you know, what's going to work for him now, and don't let that affect him. Don't let that affect me from, like, the USC game having 6 blocks in the first half or at Stanford having 16 rebounds. Don't let that affect the side of the ball where you can impact the game as good as anybody. And so it's more so, that's what I've seen, is like, you know what, you can do this. Don't let this dictate this. You know, I know you're frustrated, but your team needs you to do this too. And so those are the kind of conversations that we have. And he's had 2 great days. And, you know, moving forward for us to win, we got to play as one. You know, you got to. It's the easiest thing to say as a coach. It's the hardest thing to execute. And so offensively, we're moving the ball a little bit better. It needs to keep flowing. But you can't already think, okay, now I'm going to shoot. The defense dictates when what. And that's the problem, I think, with pressing like Oregon or pressing like ASU, is you can't, if you're bringing the ball up and now it's 18-17, you can't really call a play to get somebody the ball because that's going to stop the flow. It needs to be able to flow with awareness of where the ball needs to go, if that makes sense.
When people ask you about his 5 technical fouls, and, you know, all season you've defended him, he's a great kid.
Yeah.
How do you marry this great kid with 5 technicals, which most people just don't see that.
Well, it's like say you had a son, right? And your son is, you know, gotten to school. And I remember my 12-year-old now, or 15-year-old now, he'd probably be mad if I told him the story. But I remember the principal calling me up, and he said he's been a disruptor in the class, right? And so I go there, and I walk over there, and he's in preschool right now. He's got the crayon, and he's just crayoning on the thing. And I walk in there like, buddy, what's going on? And, you know, you teach him. You know he's my son, he's the greatest kid in the world, you know. But he has, you know, he would just do something to get a laugh or to do something to disrupt a little bit. But he's a great kid at heart. And so it's more so the teaching part of it. It's like, son, you can't do this anymore. You're going to, you know, we're going to walk home. You know, you're going to go to bed early. In today's day and world, like, I'm taking your cell phone. I'm not allowing you to go on Friday, Saturday night. And that's part of parenting, right? Everybody has the good, and people all make mistakes. Now it goes back to learning those mistakes and trying not to let that happen again. And understanding when you do that, that impacts everybody. So it goes back to my son. Hey, listen, you do that, that disrupts the classroom. And that doesn't allow the teacher to do what? Teach, right? And that's going to spark somebody else doing what? Laughing or doing something else. And so the collateral damage on that. And so we've had talks with J-Mac, and he's such a good kid, and he understands the impact of those. Now it goes back to having a little bit more self-control because he's so competitive.
Is it to a point, though, where, after three, okay, maybe, but four or five, is it to a point where you know, any more, then you just can't play?
Yeah. I wouldn't go that far, but I think at the end of the day, it's you're you know, we're teachers, and so you're going to take something away. Now, if it was malicious and it was intentional, you know, like it's intentional and I'm doing that to do what, now we have a problem. And so he's a great, you know, if you've known him, he's gotten a bad rep with everybody, and they've kind of already put him in a box, like he does this and he's the kid is an incredible player that has an incredible amount of pressure on him, right? Relieve the pressure, son. Have fun playing this game, right? You can block, you can steal. Don't let this part affect this part, because this part is just as important as winning, and you can impact in a positive way.
You've had Marcus playing for a while now, starting the last game. Yeah. What does a next step look like for him down the stretch of this season?
I think Marcus is an incredible offensive player. He's been great at not turning the ball over. He has a pace that makes a coach feel comfortable. At the end of the clock, he has the ability to make a shot, you know, to make a play. If he gets an open shot, it's very consistent, and percentage-wise, it's the best. I think now it's, you know, when he got thrown into the fire, it's like, okay, I know the playbook, but I need to know better, number one. Number two is, okay, now they're pressuring me. The conditioning part of it is another deal that he's dealing with. And then lastly, it's like now it's like, okay, who hasn't gotten the ball? You're the quarterback, and so it goes back to when a game is live and you're playing, and they might be playing this. The point guard needs to know where the ball needs to go. If this guy's only got three shots you start seeing him frustrated, we got to try to get him one. You know, that's the management of the game. The talent of the game from not turning it over and being able to score has been high level, especially for a freshman. But that's part of his growth. And he's an incredible kid who keeps getting better and better.
When you look at the film, yeah, I mean, I think everybody knows that Raekwon can shoot the ball.
Sure.
How's he doing on defense, passing, making decisions?
I think, you know, the good thing about Raekwon is, I hate to say it, this is kind of a joke, this is a John Chaney thing, a bad shot's better than a good turnover, right? Like, you have a chance to score, you have a chance to get an offensive rebound. And now it goes back to, I think, with Ray, he's such a potent shooter. Like, he has no fear. And he has no, if he misses nine, he believes he's making the next nine. Now it goes back to, okay, time and score. Okay, you've made three, you've missed two. We're down six. Now we're coming down. You're not taking a 35-foot contested three. You know, we might have to go inside. We might have to do this. That's part of the learning curve. But I love that about him, that he has this ultimate what. You know, now it goes back to that. Defensively, freshmen are going to make mistakes. And so is he perfect? No. The one thing I will tell you is he works on it every day with Coach Conroy. And number two, I think he's, if I had to say the top five toughest guys on our team, he's in the top three or four. He is a guy, you know, he's been playing with a busted finger on his left hand, diving on loose balls, getting tough rebounds, and he makes his foul shots down the stretch. But the learning curve is shot selection, time and score, and that's what you get with experience and growth.
Now that you've been part of the Wazoo series for a couple of years, is there anything extra you say to these guys? They already know what it's all about.
You know what? I've known Coach Smith for a long time. Great coach. He's done an incredible job this year. St. Mary's background, obviously, with Randy Bennett, and he's got them believing and playing hard. And, you know, they've got a couple Seattle guys, Noah Williams and CJ. Ellaby. And these rivalry games are just incredible because everybody gets excited to play in a high-level arena with, against competition that is going to play at 110%, you know, going at each other. And so I think our biggest focus right now is just making sure that we're playing our best game and we're focused on playing as one, you know, and then competing at a level like no other. And these guys have done an incredible job of doing that in practice the last couple of days. I think it's probably been the last two, the best two practices we've probably had in the last month and a half. And so that's always a positive thing for a coach when you see the confidence still there and you see the belief still there and you see the work ethic still there and you sit there and see them wanting to get better and wanting them to grow. And what, most importantly, is understand that there's a lot to play for. It's real. And that's what I'm so excited about.
Ellaby gets
last one, guys.
The ink over there. Was Bonton kind of the key?
He's a big-time player. He's been a great addition to them. He can score. He's disruptive. He's a great defensive player. CJ is a guy that even when we saw him in high school, he can just flat-out score. He has no fear. And I love how hard he plays. He's a hard-playing dude. And so it will be a great challenge for us. The last couple of years, we've had great battles, close games. That's what rivalry games are. Kids want to play in these games, and I'm just excited.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.